You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Today is July 14th, 2023, and I'm your host, MP Holmes, and this is a piece on the recent rollout of the federal government's grocery rebate in Waterloo Region. Over the last 12 months, Canada reported a food inflation increase of 8.9%. Believe it or not, that's nearly 10% less than the global average, according to a report published in May by e-commerce platform YouBuy. That's little consolation. And still, 12.2%, or about 71,000 people in Kitchener-Waterloo, are living below the poverty line. 24.9%, or about 145,000 people in Kitchener-Waterloo, make $40,000 or less after taxes. Kim Wilhelm, the interim CEO of the Food Bank of KW, offered a sense of the scale of how many people are being impacted.
Well, I mean, we work with over 120 food assistance programs in the region, and collectively we are seeing record-breaking numbers to those who are accessing food assistance. So just to give a little bit of scope to what that means, in the month of May, we had 45,000 visits to a community food assistance program here in Waterloo Region, which is almost a 60% increase over last May. So really, really large numbers. One segment that we're seeing a fast increase to specifically are first-time users of a food assistance program. So in that month where we had 45,000 visits, almost 1,000 households were accessing food assistance for the very first time ever, which is about 175% increase over last May.
On May 17th, Neil Hetherington, the CEO of the Daily Bread Food Bank in Toronto, testified to the House of Commons Standing Committee on Finance about the recently announced grocery rebate as part of the 2023-24 budget. Here, he describes who is using the food bank he works for.
People do not have enough income to afford the rapidly rising cost of living. With unemployment being at record lows, it begs the question, why are we seeing such historic increases in food bank usage? Food bank usage has always had a correlation between its use and unemployment. As a result, I have sleepless nights and a few newly found gray hairs thinking about what will happen if unemployment begins to rise. Many of the people coming to our food banks in Toronto rely on fixed incomes, particularly social assistance. I worry very much about those receiving income from disability. Those funds in Ontario total about $1,200 per month for an individual to survive on, a full $900 below the poverty line. In the past year, we have seen the portion of people with income derived from employment as the primary source double from 15% to 33%. No longer is the promise that if you get an education and work hard, will you not need food charity. 70% of our clients at food banks are paying more than half of their incomes on housing, putting them at high risk of homelessness. Almost one in five food bank clients are putting 100% of their incomes towards housing, leaving nothing for food and other expenses, totally relying on charity, friends, and family. Every household in Canada feels the impact of food inflation, which remains at 9.6%. But for those accessing food banks, this is simply the tip of the iceberg. These households were already living in precarity before skyrocketing inflation.
So what has been the government's response? On March 28th of this year, Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland tabled the government's budget and introduced the grocery rebate. Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister of National Revenue, Peter Fragiscotis, who is also the MP for London Centre North, came to Kitchener last week to help roll out the grocery rebate.
11 million Canadians, including over 100,000 here in Kitchener-Waterloo, will get this support. This is for modest and lower income earners that are going through, as so many are, a difficult time with inflation. But we want to focus here on making sure that those who are particularly vulnerable get that support. And so if they were eligible for the support that was allocated in January, the same rebate top up, to the GST-HST credit was made available then they will be able to get this assistance again. Most, if not all, will use it towards groceries. It doesn't have to go towards groceries, but I've looked at polling that says that the vast majority of people who are eligible will use this assistance to buy groceries like, you know, fresh fish or meat or things that maybe they otherwise haven't been able to afford recently because of food inflation. This is going to be some welcomed assistance for sure.
Kim Wilhelm from the Food Bank of KW thinks more can be done.
The easiest thing to say right now would be a better regulation of prices, because that's where we're seeing right now today. Individuals are struggling most trying to deal with the rapid increases. I was reading an article this morning where they talked about the average homeowner is seeing about $1,000 increase every month to their mortgage payment. $1,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, at one time, I used to pay for my family $1,000, not even $1,000 a month in groceries. Now, we'd be lucky to get by with $1,000. But for someone who was living on a fixed income previously, there's no room to swap that $1,000 out with something else. So they're making impossible choices. Do I pay for my housing or do I put food on the table for my family? The reality is things like housing, utilities, those are fixed expenses that are coming out of our bank account every month. Food tends to be the discretionary item. It shouldn't be the discretionary item, but it's the one that people feel as though they have the most control over. And because of that, people are saying, well, I'd rather have a house than to eat today. And who should have to make that choice? No one should have to.
The root cause of inflation, including drought, extreme weather events, the war in Ukraine and Russia, and supply chain disruptions, are beyond the control of the Canadian government, as Peter Fragiscotis explains.
But I think that if there's an expectation that government can wave a magic wand and end inflation, that's misplaced. Because inflation, by and large, has been caused by external factors. It has to do with the upending of supply chains that we saw and continue to see through the pandemic and its effects. It has to do with things like climate change. I'll use a very specific example. A few months ago, there were real challenges at grocery stores that people faced buying something as a basic staple like lettuce. The reason that lettuce a few months back had increased in price so substantially is because of climate change. Lettuce wasn't in plentiful supply because in the state of California there was a drought that happened last summer, a very serious drought. So it affected the affected produce. And so when you have high demand and low supply, you have a price increase. And that's not something government can stop. But what we can do is set the table, so to speak. We can help people through. We can work to secure investment as well so that jobs remain. We have a high number of jobs. We have a very low unemployment rate. This is something that I think is crucial and sometimes underemphasized. In the early 1980s, for example, where we had high inflation, we also had very high unemployment. Thankfully, at least in this situation, we have inflation that has been high. Again, it is coming down, but yeah, people have been struggling through. But unemployment has been at historic lows, so at least people are still working.
Regulating prices is one way in which government can control food prices. The government could regulate food prices by mandating the maximum amount a seller is allowed to charge for a product or service. That's what is called a price ceiling. This happened last year in Malaysia, where the Malaysian government set a maximum price on chickens after chicken prices increased dramatically due to a reduction in the population. Dr. Mike Van Masso of the Department of Food, Agricultural and Resource Economics at the University of Guelph has written how this is not possible in Canada right now because we're still paying off the debt accumulated from the COVID-19 relief. Dr. Van Masso also explains that Kerbiar exports is not possible because of obligations to trade agreements. If Dr. Van Masso is correct, there seems to be little the government can do to bring down food prices. Hence the targeted programs to bring economic relief, like the grocery rebate and school food programs from the 2022 federal budget. Here's Kim Wilhelm's thoughts on the grocery rebate.
The grocery rebate is going to help families and individuals temporarily offset the cost of food at the grocery store. But the reality is this rebate has no long-term impact on addressing food. I mean, the problem is far too many people are facing not being able to afford groceries throughout the year. But it doesn't just stop at grocery affordability. It's the overall cost of living that we're dealing with.
Neil Hetherington told the Senate his thoughts on the grocery rebate.
So let's turn to the question at hand. Will the grocery rebate make a difference? Any money in the pockets of low-income Canadians is generally a good thing. Using the GST credit as a vehicle makes sense, since this is an income-tested benefit that targets low-income Canadians. It does not require somebody to be working to receive it, which means that people living with disabilities who are unable to work will still receive the benefit. We also appreciate this approach that is grounded in dignity and low barrier access. Rather than having to apply for the benefits, Canadians who have filed their income tax will automatically receive the benefit. But none of these answer the question of whether it will make a difference. Ultimately, while the benefit is helpful, our analysis is the temporary grocery rebate will not shorten the lineups outside of food banks across Canada. The good news is that we know exactly what will. Our colleagues at Proof, a research institute housed at the University of Toronto, have published extensively on this matter, and they found that the Canada Child Benefit and Guaranteed Income Supplement have both had significant impacts on reducing the severity of food insecurity, and these programs should be celebrated and replicated. I've had the opportunity to testify at the Senate about Bill C-22 and express my strong support for the Canada Disability Benefit. Depending on its design, this benefit has the potential to reduce and even eliminate poverty and food insecurity among Canadians with disabilities. We hope that this bill will continue to receive all-party support.
The people who received the grocery rebate made less than $38,000 a year, but the discontent from people who earn more than that but who are still struggling was very loud and begged the question, what if we helped everyone? I asked Peter Fratch-Scotus if the government had other ideas to help more people, ideas like a universal basic income, which he initially dismissed because of financial reasons.
No, I don't think it says that we're going towards a universal basic income. I think what it says is that, and you put it very well, we find ourselves in a very special circumstance. Inflation has been at a 40-year high, and so government has an obligation to respond as best as it can while putting in place an agenda that allows us to maintain a reasonable debt and deficit level. My concern with basic income is that the cost would be so substantial that we couldn't afford it. I think the Parliamentary Budget Officer has estimated that on an annual basis alone, the cost would range around $70 billion, billion with a B. So I don't know that we can afford to look at that. But what we can do is put in place these various supports that while helping people in their specific current circumstance also create economic growth.
Later in our conversation, MP Fratch-Scotus explained in more detail the government's current feelings on the universal basic income outside financial concerns.
There's many ways to approach basic income. What I would like to see, and unfortunately we saw a conservative government here in the province of Ontario cut the pilot projects, as you know. The previous government, the government of Kathleen Wynne, had moved ahead envisioning three pilot projects in this province that would have, I think, provided a lot of feedback for the government in terms of understanding how to potentially put in place a universal basic income program. That data does not exist. The only real data that we have in Canada, in fact, on this, as you may know, is the I use the word experiment because that's exactly what it was in Dauphin, Manitoba in the 1970s. For a short period of time, there was a basic income program introduced, which I will admit had very impressive effects. There were a range of positive outcomes, socially, economically, that were felt. But it's a short-lived experiment, and then we don't have much more to base on. So I think if we're going to put in place something as significant is probably an understatement, this would be a huge change in how we deliver support to Canadians, a universal basic income. We would have to have evidence from pilot projects put in place in recent times, in very recent times, to understand how it can be best approached. Okay. Yeah, moving ahead with it in one fell swoop, we'd have to give. I have pause. Let's say I have second thoughts when it comes to something like that.
Now, both Kim Wilhelm from the Food Bank of KW and Peter Fregiscotis mentioned people on the ODSP benefit. Now, in Waterloo Region, 12,852 individuals or families count on ODSP for part or all of their income, and we know that ODSP is not sufficient. Bill C-22, which will establish the new and increased Canada Disability Benefit, became law on June 22, 2023. The benefit, the first of its kind at the federal level, will provide financial support to low-income, working-age persons with disabilities, including indexing the benefit to inflation. The government has a year before the Canada Disability Benefit Act must come into force, and we have no idea yet when people will see the increased benefit in their bank accounts. You have been listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. This is MP Holmes, and thank you for tuning in. The music on today's show is called Bakel, and it is by @Scandinavians, and is courtesy of Breaking Copyright on YouTube. This music is used under a Creative Commons license. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all of the LJI content from across the country at canada-info.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca. Have a good day.